This is the Goalkeepers Union Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Goalkeepers Union Podcast. Me, Matt Beadle, here with the voice of goalkeeping, Richard Lee.
Hello, Matthew.
Hello, Richard. So finally, we are here. The long-awaited GK's on their way transfer summer special of 2024. There is plenty to discuss, plenty of moves to go through. Shall we get on with the show?
Let's do it.
GK's on the way. I say GK's on the way. GK's on the way. I say GK's on the way.
Okay, so we are going to glide through each league from the Premier League down to League Two. We'll touch on some of the best of the rest in non-league, in Scotland, in Wales, and in Ireland as well. There will be some crossover as we go from league to league. That is purely down to the fact that the moves have panned out in a certain way. But yes, ultimately, one league will follow the other. I think we've pretty much got the majority in here. There may be one or two who have slipped the net, but pretty much all the key movers and shakers have hopefully been listed, all of whom we will come on to, but not before we can now officially draw a line under the biggest goalkeeping talking point of last season. One that has finally been solved this season, that is with David Raya signing permanently for Arsenal from Brentford for £27 million. Aaron Ramsdale heading to Southampton in a deal that could amount to £25 million. The saga, Richard, of the two number ones at the Emirates is no more, and I'm going to get your points on it. But before we do that, we have had a tweet in from Semi Hero on this, at Gaz_W77, who says, Goalkeepers Union Podcast, I would love to know your opinion on the Ramsdale move as an agent as well as a goalkeeper. A four-year deal makes zero sense to me for both sides. Surely a loan with an option makes more sense. Saints have basically killed the development of a really promising young goalkeeper, Gavin Batsunu, they have invested significant time and money into if he stays for the whole 4 years. For Ramsdale, he's tied himself to a club long-term who look likely to end up in the Championship. No matter how good his performances are when they go down, he's going to be tied to another relegation, which really isn't good, and he's going to be wanting to look for a move, which again, isn't a good look. A loan would have meant Saints get cover while Batsunu is out, get an upgrade on McCarthy, and it gives them options at the end of the season. Don't take up the option if they go down. Buy and flip him if they go down and he does well, or if they stay up, they can purchase him as a one. On the same point, it would allow Ramsdale to go and play well, ideally for him, and sort of move out somewhere further up the league food chain. Obviously not sure what Arsenal were demanding, etc., but it seemed like a very rash decision by all involved. So a slightly different take there from Semi Hero.
Do you know what? Really good email, that. Really good email. And there's a few points that he's mentioned that I can touch on. A lot of it is unknown, like he's mentioned there at the end. There's certain things when it comes to these deals that are factors. So firstly, would a loan have made more sense? Yes, it would. The bit we don't know 100% is whether a loan was possible. You know, from what we understand, Arsenal made it very clear this summer that they were going to sell Ramsdale, and that was the only option. From their point of view, if it was a loan, obviously there's no guarantee they get the kind of money that they wanted to get for him. But similarly, had it been a loan and he has a great season, then it might be that they get a bigger fee in a year's time. But it does sound like they were very adamant that they wanted a sale this summer. The other bit for me, and I think is important, is the timing. And this is a big thing in the window. When you look at when goalkeepers go, how much they go for, the types of moves they go on, so much of it is dependent on timing. And I think the fact that that was towards the end of the window also played a part, because you often find when there is a big profile out there that becomes more of a premium on them, to some extent the selling club maybe has that bit more power where they can stay firm and say, look, we're not going to do a loan, you either buy him or you don't. And the last point I'll make on all this as well, because I agree with a lot of what he said in terms of, you know, a year ago, would we have expected Aaron Ramsdale to go to Southampton? Probably not. You know, certainly when it was the fight between him and Raya, you wouldn't have thought a year down the line it would have been a Southampton. At that point, it might have been, you know, one of the top six, top eight, or what have you. The other thing is, of course, where the slots are. And you actually look, and we're going to talk about a lot of the movement this summer, But there wasn't necessarily that move that opened up for him. I know there was a few rumours in regards to Newcastle maybe, which could have fit. Obviously worked with the manager before and maybe that succession plan to Pope. But other than that, you actually look at a lot of the clubs, they have stayed, a lot of the top clubs in particular have stayed with the goalkeepers that had last season. And of course, he was desperate to get Premier League football. Who's out there that actually had the money to go and spend that kind of money on bringing in a number one? Again, it really limits the number of clubs. Even in Europe, you know, there was a couple of rumours, I think about AC Milan and a couple of others. But again, when we're talking this kind of price tag, there's only a select number of clubs in the whole world that would be able to pay that for a goalkeeper. So I think there's a lot more to it. But in terms of what he's actually written in the email, so many different scenarios that could pay out. I think the Bazunu one is a very, very interesting point, because then they're going to have an issue come the end of the season when he is fit, because then suddenly they've got two goalkeepers on their books they've spent a lot of money on. So there will have to be a bit of a solution to that, whether that is a Ramsdale moving on for a profit potentially, whether that's Bazunu moving on to another club once he's fit. But my gut says that Southampton have probably looked at this and thought, we're back in the Premier League, we want to give ourselves the best chance of staying in the Premier League, let's deal with this now, let's get this done, and then we can kick that down the road and we can worry about that in a year or so's time. But no, excellent email.
Yep, excellent correspondence. Always like to receive correspondence. If you would like to get in touch with us, just like Semi Hero did, very easy to do so on email hello@goalkeepersunion.net, on Twitter @GKUnion, or on our phone number via WhatsApp 07503673020. So let's move on now with the first instalment of Premier League moves. Like I said at the top, there have been plenty of movers and shakers, and they are so, with David Raya signing permanently for Arsenal, that has allowed three goalkeepers to now leave the club. Arthur Okonkwo to Wrexham for free on a three-year deal. Carl Hein to Real Valladolid on a season loan. James Hilson to Southend for free. That has also allowed Neto to come into Arsenal as that number two on a season loan from Bournemouth, allowing Kepa Arrizabalaga to replace Neto at Bournemouth from Chelsea, also on a season loan, where there has, as you'd expect, been plenty of activity. Also leaving the club on season loans are Georgi Petrovic to Strasbourg, Gabriel Slonina to Barnsley, Eddie Beach to Crawley, Teddy Sharman loaned to Doncaster, and Ted Kerd to Hampton and Richmond. Jamie Cumming has also left Chelsea on a permanent deal to Oxford. Coming into the club is Philip Jorgensen from Villarreal. That is for £20.7 million on a seven-year deal. And a deal has been struck for Mike Penders from Genk. That is for £17 million, but that won't be actioned until next summer.
Yeah, do you know what? A couple to mention there. And the first point is, it is incredible when you list them out, the number of moves that have happened at Chelsea, incoming and outgoing. But at the same time, you look at it, and from a business perspective, you can start to see what's happening there. You know, certainly there's been a hell of a lot of change, obviously, over the last couple of years. But now getting so many of the younger ones out into good places where they're going to get that game time, that exposure. Similarly, the one that I was going to mention is Mike Penders, because this is a name that I've heard a lot over the last couple of years, and I know there was a lot of interest in him. We're not going to see him this season, of course, but definitely, from what I understand, he's one to keep an eye on. Yeah, sounds like a top talent. I think he's still only 19, 20, I believe, and obviously playing at a very, very high level. So he's certainly one to keep an eye on. And also just to mention Jamie Cumming, a good move for him, finally getting championship football now at Oxford, and certainly they've started the season very well. But he was another one that was sort of knocking on the door a lot, playing a lot of League One football, waiting to get himself into the championship. Obviously, Chelsea made the decision that they would allow him to go on a perm as opposed to another loan. And from his point of view, to have had that development at Chelsea, to have got the loans that he's got, and that's credit to Chelsea for allowing him to get those types of loans, and now to get that permanent move at such a good age as well to a championship club, excited for him. And lastly, just to mention Kepa, you know, a name that obviously I haven't heard a lot of over the last year or so with him being out on loan, but good to see him back in the Premier League in a starting spot. And although perhaps it didn't quite go as he would have liked at Chelsea, and there was obviously a lot of pressure that came with that, with the price tag and everything at the time, certainly a top goalkeeper, and one that I'm sure we'll hear a lot more about in the year to come.
Elsewhere in the Premier League, bit of a swap deal of sorts involving Burnley and Ipswich. Aaron Muric moving from Turf Moor to Portman Road for a deal that could reach up to £15 million. Going the other way is Vaslav Hladký for free. Into Wolves from Crystal Palace is Sam Johnston for £10 million. Into Crystal Palace from Wolves is Louis Maldon for free. And then we come to Nottingham Forest and Newcastle, where it's all been going off. So Matt Turner into Crystal Palace from Nottingham Forest on a season loan. Forest have brought in Carlos Miguel from Corinthians. That's for an undisclosed fee. They've let Odysseas Vlachodimos head to Newcastle, also for an undisclosed fee, where John Ruddy has also gone to St James's Park from Birmingham for free. Loris Karius has left Newcastle. He is now currently unattached. And Jude Smith has gone from Newcastle to Carlisle on a free. Max Thompson also out of the door at St James's Park. He's gone to Chesterfield on a season loan. Wes Fotheringham into West Ham for free from Sheffield United. And out of the door at the London Stadium is Joseph Anang to St Patrick's on a 2.5-year deal. And Nathan Trott to FC Copenhagen, undisclosed fee. And Jacob Knightbridge as well into Oxford on a free. And then three others to mention. Thomas Strakosha has left Brentford. He's joined AEK Athens on a free. Marek Rodak from Fulham to Al Etifak on a free. And Asmir Begovic back to Everton after a year away at QPR for free.
Yeah, plenty more to mention there. First, you start with Muric. I mean, that was quite an interesting situation because you always have it, and we speak about it a lot, when the Championship clubs get promoted to the Premier League and the amount that actually run with the goalkeeper that essentially got them to the Premier League. But Ipswich made a decision quite early on that they weren't going to go with Hladky as their number one, and they made it very clear they wanted to bring in a number one. The bit that I think you find with a lot of the clubs is that then they will have a certain budget in mind. So we spoke about Ramsdale. Obviously, that was a much bigger budget for a number one, which I think, you know, came about being the time of the window and who was available at that point. I think with Ipswich, they've obviously looked for a goalkeeper that really fits their style of play, someone who's still a good age, but also not going to be a crazy price coming back into the Premier League. Muric obviously seemed to fit that, did very well back end of last season. They've now got an interesting situation with Christian Walton as well, having played and played well. So yeah, two solid goalkeepers for them. Sam Johnson, certainly worth a mention. Again, lots of rumours throughout the summer. You felt that he would be on his way at some point. Again, happened later in the window. So many in the Premier League this summer happened that bit later in the window. But you feel like that's a really good slot for him to kick on again and become that number one. You mentioned Vlachodimos. That was a very, very strange one. Certainly with all the rumours surrounding James Trafford and Newcastle, you kind of felt like that might happen, or it certainly looked like it would happen, and you just felt it was a matter of time. But obviously they did do Vlachodimos. Still a little bit unclear as to what his role is at the club, and certainly hasn't featured as yet, whether he goes on loan at some point. Marek Rodak is a fascinating one for him to go and join Steven Gerrard and get himself over to Al Ettifaq in Saudi. A goalkeeper that we've spoke about before, in that he's been quite unlucky, you know, with the promotions he got with Fulham, but never really got that chance to establish himself as a Premier League number one. So it'd be interesting to see how he does over there, whether he ever gets himself back to England. And lastly, Asmir Begovic, the nice return to Everton. Obviously really highly thought of there. They didn't want him to go in the first place, but he was desperate to go and get some football. Had a really solid season at QPR and was able to scratch the itch, get those games, and now he's been able to return to Everton and hopefully help them stay in the Premier League.
Into the Championship now, and that move from Asmir Begovic to Everton from QPR left the door open for a new number one at Loftus Road, and that is Paul Nardi joining the club on a free from Belgian side Ghent. Murphy Cooper has joined Stevenage from QPR on a season loan. There's been quite a bit of activity at Plymouth, Sheffield United and Blackpool, so we'll start with Michael Cooper first, who has moved to Bramall Lane from Plymouth for a significant fee, as it was reported. Adam Davies has also re-signed at Sheffield United. That's allowed Ivo Gerbic to move to Kaykor Rizespor in Turkey on a season loan. The move from Plymouth to Sheffield United from Michael Cooper has left a vacancy for another goalkeeper at Home Park. That sees Dan Grimshaw going into Plymouth from Blackpool for an undisclosed fee. He joins Connor Hazard to battle it out for that number one spot. But Hazard currently injured, we've just seen the Pilgrims bring in Marco Morosi unattached on a short-term deal initially until January. Harry Tyler has gone in to Blackpool to fill the void left by Dan Grimshaw. That's from Everton on a season loan. James Beadle back to Sheffield Wednesday on a season loan from Brighton. He's been joined by Ben Hamer from Watford on a free. Cameron Dawson out of Sheffield Wednesday to Rotherham on a free. A lot of activity at Hull too. So Matt Ingram and Ryan also both left Hull. They've gone to Oxford and Birmingham respectively. Into Hull is Anthony Raciopi for an undisclosed fee from Young Boys and Carl Rushworth on a season loan from Brighton. And then three more to mention. Si Moore to Sunderland from Coventry and a free. Oliver Dovin into Coventry from Swedish side Hammarby for an undisclosed fee. And Etienne Green from San Etienne to Burnley for an undisclosed fee as well.
Yeah, plenty of goings on in the Championship, and I know you've got several more to come. And I was actually going to mention, because you mentioned Dovin there, I was going to mention Zetterström as well, who I'm sure you're going to mention very shortly. But yeah, the fact that two goalkeepers coming over from the Swedish league to England, obviously Hansen already doing some great stuff. And again, another one that I'm sure you're going to mention. So yeah, effectively three Swedes on the move in the Championship. Really interesting what's going on at Hull. The fact they spent money back in January, they spent money again on Raciopi and then loaned Rushworth. So strange goings on. And actually, as of this podcast, Rushworth, I don't think has played a game for them just yet, but you would expect him to settle in as the number one after the seasons he's had previously. Sheffield Wednesday did well to get James Beadle back on loan, obviously brilliant back end of last season, and then to have Ben Hamer there as well, a nice one and two. Quite a nice story that sits behind them as well, in that James Beadle obviously at Charlton as a kid and used to watch Ben Hamer over and over, and now getting to work together. Dan Grimshaw, really unfortunate for Connor Hazard, started the season brilliantly, looked like Grimshaw would be coming in as that two to challenge. Obviously he's got his chance now, and that was obviously made possible by Michael Cooper finally getting his move to Sheffield United. Been very consistent for Plymouth over the years. You kind of always felt at some point it would happen, and that feels like a nice move to him to join, with respect to Plymouth, a slightly bigger Championship club. And Murphy Cooper, just to mention as well, because he had a really bad injury, did very well at Swindon last year until the injury. So for him to jump up to League One, get some games at Stevenage, a good move for him.
On to the second batch in the Championship now, and we'll start with the Swedes, shall we? Richard, as you mentioned them, Victor Johansson into Stoke from Rotherham on a free, and Jacob Zetterström into Derby from Djurgårdens for an undisclosed fee. Joining him at Derby is Rowan Lutherer. He's come in from Cardiff. Joe Wildsmith out of Derby to West Brom on a free. Lawrence Vigouroux from Burnley to Swansea. Blondie Nat-Nweke from Stoke to Sunderland on a free. Leo Volstead has gone from Blackburn to Aarhus for an undisclosed fee. Blackburn have also let Felix Goddard go to Dundalk on a six-month loan. They've brought in Ballast Toth from Fehervar FC and Jack Barrett from Everton. Jonathan Bond was unattached after leaving LA Galaxy in January. He has now joined Watford. Alex Cairns has gone into Leeds from Salford on a two-year deal. Nicholas Schmidt to Portsmouth from BW Linz, that's undisclosed. And Jordan Archer also joining him at Fratton Park from QPR. They've allowed Toby Stewart to go to Tonbridge on a season loan. And at Millwall, Lucas Jensen and Liam Roberts have come in from Lincoln and Middlesbrough respectively.
Yeah, it really was a busy, busy summer in the Championship. Certainly a few to mention there. Lawrence Vigouroux, first and foremost, really pleased for him. And again, as of doing this podcast, he started the season brilliantly. I know he's top of all the stats and really fits the style of play. Obviously knows the manager from previous. Quite an interesting deal, that one, in that he obviously joined Burnley on a free a year ago. Didn't play a single game for Burnley last season, yet there was a valuation that was put on him. And in the end, quite a significant fee that Burnley asked for. So good business from Burnley, but also from Swansea, given that he is very much the right fit for them. Jonathan Bond, obviously someone that I've known for many, many years. Really pleased for him to go back to Watford again. Started very well there. Be an interesting challenge between him and Backman. Alex Cairns, dream move for him to get himself back to Leeds. And also quite an interesting one in that, you know, you look at a goalkeeper's timeline and career path and how it can go. You often find that when goalkeepers, and not that Alex Cairns is all that old at the moment, still early 30s, I believe, but you get to a point where you could be playing regularly in League Two and you are in your 30s, you then start to fit slightly different slots. So another good example would be like a Tom King going to Wolves, for example, where although you might be a number one in League Two, that might be that you're then a number two in League One. You might be a number three in the Championship or the Premier League. And certainly for Alex Cairns, who's racked up so many games over the years, to be able to return to such an elite club and be a major part of what they're doing as well, because that three role, you are very much the link between staff and players. You drive the goalkeeping group, you drive a lot of the standards. So a really, really good fit for them. And also to mention Jensen, certainly one to keep an eye on at Millwall. did very, very well at Lincoln last season, certainly back end of the season in particular. And of course, Liam Roberts, who was excellent for Barnsley last season. So those two will be fighting it out. But certainly Wee Jensen, I know a lot being made about him. And although he had a bit of a tough start at Mill, obviously some horrific circumstances that we've talked about on the podcast over the summer. So a really tough role to go in, but certainly started very well after the first couple of games. And as I say, they do seem to have a very strong department now.
Into League One now, where cash has been spent, as you might expect, at Birmingham. We've mentioned Ryan Allsopp. Bailey Peacock-Farrell has also gone into St Andrews from Burnley for an undisclosed fee on a four-year deal. Out of Birmingham is Neil Etheridge. He's gone to Southeast Asia and joined Buriram United, the Thai club, on a two-year deal. Charlton have brought in Will Mannion from Cambridge on a three-year deal. Nathan Bishop has joined Wickham on a season loan. An injury to him has meant that Wickham have also recruited Shamal George from Livingston for an undisclosed fee. Going into Peterborough unattached on a two-year deal is Jed Steer. And out of Peterborough to Hong Kong club Kitchi is Finn Talley. Quite an interesting move, that one. Corey Adai has joined Stockport from Crawley. Max Metcalf also into Stockport from Middlesbrough. Out of the door at Norwich to Cambridge on a season loan is Vicente Reyes. Nick Zanev has joined Northampton on a free from Wimbledon. And a lot going on at Lincoln. So Sam Long has left to join Bromley for an undisclosed fee, as has Jordan Wright to Grimsby. They've brought in George Wickens from Fulham. They've also brought in Zach Zsikog. He was unattached after leaving Birmingham last January. That's 2 years plus an option. And Jamie Pardington has also come in to Sincil Bank from Cheltenham on a free. Out of Cheltenham to Bolton is Luke Southwood. And Toby Savin has moved from Accrington to Shrewsbury.
Yeah, well, as mentioned, I think we need to start with Birmingham. And obviously, as of recording, they're certainly flying and it certainly seems to be working. But to be able to bring in the likes of Bailey Peacock-Farrell and Ryan Allsopp, of course, Ryan Allsopp, was it finishing seventh with Hull last season in the Championship, playing pretty much every game. So two top goalkeepers, which Birmingham did make it clear that their intention this summer was to build a strong Championship club, with the idea that, you know, they want to try and blitz the league. Certainly they're making a decent fist of that at this point. And no doubt if they do get promotion, I think they've then got their two goalkeepers already ready for next season. So you can kind of see the idea behind it. Certainly worth a mention for Will Mannion. Credit to him, because, you know, if you'd have said probably 6 months ago that he would be starting at Charlton, when at the time he was on the bench at Cambridge, but came in, finished the season very well at Cambridge, started the season very well at Charlton. And I think this is where certain things can work in your favour. I think it was well documented that Charlton did try for several goalkeepers, the likes of Adam Davis, Asmir Begovic. There's plenty of stuff in the press about that. Carl Hine obviously weren't able to recruit one of them, but that's also credit to Mannion, and that during that time he was playing the games, playing very well. And because of that, they were able to then change approach late in the window and make the decision that they would run with Will Mannion and, of course, Ash Maynard Brewer. So a good battle between those two. Corey Adai, great move for him. Again, just shows for me, I think, the power of recency. Where he won his place back at Crawley, must have been December time. And again, it's one of those situations that if you'd have said 6 months later, you know, not only are they going to get promoted, but you get the move to a Stockport who are going to be very strong in League One. So talk a lot about the power of recency, not just in goalkeeping, but I think in football in general. And also the fact it came out, I know, back end of last season that his stats were through the roof, you know, so excellent move for him, and a really good platform for him to now kick on. Also wanted to mention Luke Southwood, big move for him. And credit to Luke, where he did the couple of years at Cheltenham. And I think it's so important for a lot of young goalkeepers to get that bank of games in at the best level you can. Now, of course, it was a tough season for Cheltenham, and actually felt for Luke in that he's never really had a serious injury. And of course, one of the worst nightmares for a goalkeeper is that you're going in to being a free agent and then he breaks his ankle, I believe it was, on the final game of the season. So a little bit of a worry for him, no doubt, on the back of that. But then to get the move to Bolton, played several games to them as of recording and has done very, very well. So good move for him. And lastly, George Wickens, because a name, again, I feel like we hear a lot over the years, never quite broke through at Fulham. Obviously had a few loans during that time, but from what I could appreciate, it wasn't quite the right environment for him. So to get that permanent move to a real solid club in League One, again, you feel like it's a really nice platform for him to kick on.
Finishing up the League One movers, season loans for Josh Griffiths from West Brom to Bristol Rovers, Joe Whitworth, Crystal Palace to Exeter, Zach Hemming from Middlesbrough to Leyton Orient, and Josh Keighley also to Leyton Orient from Tottenham. Callum Burton has joined Wrexham from Plymouth on a free. Jojo Wallacott has come into Crawley from Hibs. Jackson Smith to Barnsley from Walsall. He's since joined Grimsby on an emergency loan. Harry Eisted has gone to Burton from Charlton for an undisclosed fee. And Dean Boussanis on loan until January at Stevenage from Reading.
Yeah, lots of goings on in League One as well. Couple to mention there. Certainly Callum Burton, nice move for him to Wrexham. Obviously frustration for him last season going into the Championship, thinking that he would likely be the number two. Didn't quite materialise that way. So had that real frustrating season where he almost knew he had to wait until the following summer. But yeah, to join a club like Wrexham, we were very much on the up. Good move for him. Josh Griffiths, great to see him playing again. Certainly did so well in League Two, League One previously. Hasn't quite been able to break through at West Brom. So this feels like a good fit for him. And two more to mention. Harry Eisted, this was an interesting one to see him go to Burton. Obviously, it didn't look like he was going to start at Charlton once they brought Mannion in. But obviously gone to Burton and again finds himself in a similar position. And certainly with Max Crocombe, you know, player of the season last season, done some brilliant things already this season. You do wonder whether he will get that opportunity at Burton. And last one, Joe Whitworth, really pleased for him. Obviously played the couple of games in the Premier League for Crystal Palace, and it's been quite quiet since then. Hasn't really been able to get the loan that he wanted, but he's got a great opportunity now. Really good fit at Exeter. And certainly the way in which they play, the skill set that he has, again, you feel like this is a really good match, and excited to see where he goes this season.
And finally, in League Two, where we are going to do one big batch, so bear with me. Tommy Simkin into Walsall on a season loan from Stoke. Joining him at the Bescot Stadium is Sam Hornby. He's come in on a free from Colchester. Owen Evans has left Walsall. He's gone to Cheltenham on a free. He's been joined by Joe Day, who has also joined in a player coach capacity from Newport. Into Colchester is Matt Macy from Portsmouth. Owen Goodman to AFC Wimbledon on a season loan from Crystal Palace. He's been joined by Lewis Ward, who has come in on a free. Alex Bass has gone to Notts County from Sunderland. Jacob Carney also leaving Sunderland. He's gone into Newport on a free. Will Stanway from Chester to Barrow. Michael Kelly from MK to Accrington. Billy Krellin also into Accrington on a season loan from Everton. Tom McGill on a season loan from Brighton to MK Dons. Ben Amos from Wigan to Port Vale. Harry Burgoyne from Shrewsbury to Morecambe. Jamie Jones has gone into Salford on a free. He's been joined on a season loan by Matty Young in from Sunderland. Philip Marshall on a season loan from Aston Villa to Crewe. The same for Dan Barden, Norwich into Swindon. Reuben Egan was unattached. He's now into Tranmere on a free. And Luca Ashby-Hammond on a loan until January from Fulham to Gillingham.
Yeah, once again, a busy summer in League Two, although it felt slightly less busy maybe than the Championship and League One in total, but certainly a few to mention there. Tommy Simkin, I know there's big hopes for him. Young English goalkeeper, started very, very well with Walsall. You feel like that's a good fit. Alex Bass, I know that Notts County were hokey-cokey keepers for a period of time last season. Obviously, Luke Ashby-Hammond finished very, very well for them, but didn't stay. Alex Bass, though, was permanent going in there. Does feel like a good fit. And again, to this point, a point of recording, it's working out very, very well. Matt Macy to Colchester. Interesting on this, because Colchester set their stall out at the start of the summer, where obviously they've done loans recently, but they really wanted to go for a permanent and actually spend that bit more on someone to come in and be that outright number one. So again, feels like a good fit, a nice one for Matt Macy to really build from that platform. Owen Goodman, obviously got his taste last season at Colchester. Nice fit for him at Wimbledon. Again, reasonably local. I know this isn't a big point, but I often find that where you've got a club that isn't too far away from your parent club, that can often be quite nice. And certainly in when you're in with a top goalkeeper coach, and obviously, as it's known, Wimbledon have Ashley Bayes, who is very, very good. And lastly, to mention Tom McGill, this was quite an interesting one and will be very interesting going forward as well, because it was very much a Mike Williamson signing, the way in which MK play, the way in which he plays. You'd think that would continue now with Scott Lindsay going into MK. And again, time of recording, it'll be I'm curious to see how this one plays out. But good for him in that he's been in that sort of three role at Brighton for quite some time. So to actually go out, get that number one role somewhere and really have that platform to build from. So excited to see where he goes.
Lovely stuff. Okay, nearly there, Richard, nearly there. Just a few more to cover off. We'll start with the internationals, and by international I mean Scotland, Wales and Ireland. So in the Scottish Premiership, Kasper Schmeichel has joined Celtic from Anderlecht on a free. He's been joined at Parkhead by Viljami Sinisalo. He's come in from Aston Villa for an undisclosed fee on a five-year deal. Marcelo Pitaluga has gone to the Scottish Championship with Livingston from Liverpool. That's on a season loan. John McCracken into Dundee from Norwich, and Robbie McCrory into Kilmarnock from Rangers for an undisclosed fee. And Jordan Smith as well into Hibernian from Stockport on a free. In Ireland, Lewis Jones has joined Waterford on loan until the end of the League of Ireland season. That's from Doncaster. And in Wales, Joel Torrance has joined Barlatown from Salford on a free.
Yeah, I'll just talk about a few here. Firstly, Kasper Schmeichel. You know, I think it's a great signing, and it's one that obviously we spoke about him so much on the pod over the years. I was really surprised a Premier League club, you know, the likes of a Southampton, maybe an Ipswich, didn't look at someone like a Kasper Schmeichel. Certainly when you're coming up into the Premier League and you're wanting to stay in the Premier League, I was a bit surprised by that. I think Celtic, to come in and fill Joe Hart's shoes, he is the perfect person to do that. And again, at time of recording, he's certainly in a very, very good vein of form. McCrory as well, pleased for him in that. I know it's been frustrating for him at Rangers, obviously waiting for that chance, not really been able to get that chance. So to get a permanent move, get that number one spot, certainly when he's got aspirations to be number one for Scotland at some point, good move for him. And a couple of others, Lewis Jones, good for him to go and get some games. It's been a little while since he's had that regular game time. And Sinisalo, really interested to see where this goes longer term, because you'd feel like Kasper Schmeichel is a short-term solution. And certainly, I know how highly Villa thought of him and how well he's done in his loans, etc. So certainly one to keep an eye on.
And lastly, Richard, a smattering of non-league moves, of which there have been plenty, and they continue to be plenty. Of course, the non-league window does not stop for anyone, bar moves from the Premier League. So it's all been going off since the window closed, really, in non-league. But just some of the ones to mention. Luke McNicholas into Rochdale on a season loan from Wrexham. An injury to him recently has also seen David Robson, previously of Hull, but had been unattached. He's joined Rochdale on an interim basis, really, on a short-term deal. Jed Ward has gone into Forest Green Rovers on a season loan from Bristol Rovers. The same for Brad Young from Leicester to Hartlepool, returning to his old club, of course. Nick Hayes into Barnet from Ipswich on a free. Laurie Walker out of Barnet to Solihull on a free, where Nick Hayes had spent the second half of last season. Marcus Dewhurst into Aldershot from Wildstone on a free. That has meant that Archie Matthews has gone in to Wildstone. Swansea on a free, but an injury to him has meant that previous Wildstone goalkeeper, who had gone to Leyton Orient from Wildstone last season, has returned. Sam Howes back into his old club on loan. Jack Sims into Sutton from Braintree on a free. Ollie Wright from Southampton to Yeovil on a season loan. Dylan Berry from Norwich to Ebbsfleet. Ollie Webber unattached to Woking. Nat Ford into Halifax from Rotherham. Joe Wright from Millwall to Eastbourne Borough in Step 2 National League South. James Hammond from Truro to Torquay. Nathan Harvey, he was unattached. He's gone into Dagenham and Redbridge, a good product of the PFA goalkeeping camps this summer. Carey Blowdorn has gone from Tottenham to Avely on a season loan. Woody Williamson from Ipswich to Chelmsford, also on a season loan. Ted Collins from Colchester to Chelmsford, he joins him there. Aaron Chapman, unattached, he's gone into Hereford. Mason Terry from West Ham to Hornchurch on a season loan. And finally, Harvey Wiles Richards has made the short move from Bristol City to Bath City on a free.
Good stuff. Yeah, a few that we'll mention here. Nick Hayes in particular did so well last season at Southend, and Solihull, of course, losing in the final of the cup and the final of the playoff final, unfortunately for them and for him. But good move to Barnet. Nice platform for him. Brad Young, hopefully we'll finally see him play some men's football, because he's been kept in the building for so long at Leicester. So good opportunity for him. Luke McNicholas, great opportunity for him. Again, joined Wrexham from Sligo last summer. Wasn't able to break in at Wrexham, partly down to Ben Foster retiring and things not quite working out in his favour. But to get that position now to play regularly at Rochdale, and certainly started very, very well. Joe Wright, nice opportunity for him. Again, been at Millwall for so, so long. Didn't really get the loans that he wanted, but again, a good platform for him. Woody Williamson, a nice loan for him from Ipswich. I know we talk about this a lot, but for those younger goalkeepers at Premier League Championship clubs, so many to start in the Conference South, Conference North, such a good place to really kick on from. So a very, very good loan for him. And lastly, just to mention Archie Matthews, really good move for him to Wilston, and really feel for him in that he just picked up a shoulder injury, as you mentioned, so they've had to bring someone else in. So wishing him a speedy recovery, and hopefully he can carry on from where he left off, because he certainly started the season very well for them.
Excellent, Richard. Well, as promised, this pod has been delivered, although not technically in the week that we said it was going to be delivered. It is the week after, but we can say that it was recorded in the week that we said it was going to be delivered.
Yeah, technicality. I think we're fine.
We are fine. That's good, mate. Just, I guess the final word would be your summary on this summer's transfer window.
Yeah, it was, do you know what? It was interesting. We said before we had a feeling there would be a lot this summer, and we were certainly proved correct. There was a heck of a lot. And it was quite interesting in that so much seemed to happen early on in the likes of League Two, League One. The Championship then became almost the next one. And then it felt like Premier League was so, so late this year. And I don't know why that was, certainly later than previous years in terms of the amount of movement. A lot of the major ones we spoke about were in the last week or two of the window, which was interesting and certainly kept it very entertaining until literally the very last minute. You know, the amount of moves that happened in the last two or three days. So certainly a fascinating window, quite an intense window, certainly given what we do. I can certainly say that I needed to switch off for a little bit after the window. But yeah, now looking forward to January. Obviously, a very different different opportunities that come up in January. It can be a lot more reactive, all players under contract, certainly in England at that point. But there's always bits and pieces that happen in Jan. But my gut says we're going to have just as big a window next summer from the early signs I'm seeing.
Good stuff. Richard, thank you.
Matthew, thank you.
This has been the Goalkeepers Union podcast. Keepers
away.